On the show today, we have California Nevada Credit Union League Chief Economist Dwight Johnston on program giving us the credit union performance forecast for 2018 with a lingering question. So check it out. Hey, everybody. Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have Mr. Dwight Johnston from California Nevada Credit Union League. How are you, Dwight?
I'm great. It's probably too late to say Happy New Year, but Happy New Year anyway.
It's never too late to say Happy New Year. Happy New Year to you as well. Very cool stuff. And so you are the chief economist for the California Nevada Credit Union League for folks who haven't met you yet, but I'm sure that's probably far and few between. And we're talking about credit union performance kicking off 2018 with a lingering question. You have piqued our interest, Dwight. What's going on? What is this lingering question that...
Well, the lingering question really is, you know, when is this economy going to run out of steam? Because yeah. That's when credit unions will run out of steam.
Right.
I mean, it's pretty simple equation. There's not much mystery to that. And, you know, we come in really for the last two or three years thinking, well, you know, this recovery is getting long in the tooth.
Right.
It just keeps getting longer in the tooth. Mm-hmm. But there's no timetable, you know, when it dies, you know. And we're now the second longest on record, going to be another year. It'll be tied for the longest on record. And, you know, there's absolutely nothing in the data now that suggests we're going to suddenly have, you know, momentum's going to evaporate. You know, we've really, for the last 5 or 6 years, had a lot of momentum in the economy from, you know, jobs and auto and housing. And, you know, we've had a great deal of momentum. There's nothing to suggest it's going to slow down. And in fact, you know, with the tax cut, I call it a corporate tax cut, it should, you know, be even more favorable, at least through the first part of the year,
first
6 to 9 months.
Okay.
Businesses will spend some of that. There were already, you know, last year was already a very good year, a strong year for capital spending by businesses. And so this will, you know, add to that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, one thing that's happened to Wall Street the last couple of years that's refreshing to see, you know, for years and years in Wall Street, companies got rewarded on earnings per share. And that meant, boy, I'll take any excess money I've got and I'll just buy back shares.
Right.
I'll have fewer shares outstanding.
Right.
But the last couple of years evolved, and now really when analysts and traders react to stock earnings releases, and we're getting into that earnings season now, they're reacting to revenue growth. So that's number one, and then earnings per share. And so, you know, they know they're on notice that they need to grow revenues, and so they're going to spend to do so.
Okay.
And, of course, a lot of the big benefits went to smaller businesses and through the way they flow through the income into, you know, private ownership businesses. And so they certainly have an incentive to spend.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the flip side is this was not a tax cut for individuals at all. I mean, it didn't hurt anybody.
It's right.
Very many people, a few small people, you know, at the top. But so there is more money going in. It's just it was a poorly designed tax cut for individuals. If it had truly been for the middle class and for people who'd actually spend, you know, what they got.
Mm-hmm.
Said, okay, for everyone making $100,000 or say $150,000 and under, you're going to get X tax cuts.
Right.
And nothing changes for anyone over that.
Right.
That, because those people would have spent it. But instead, they did what they typically do and, you know, tax cuts for everybody. And of course, just the way the math works, the people at the top get the most dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't really impact their spending that much. And, you know, for the, $100,000 under category is 51% of the countries makes $100,000 or less. And the total tax benefit they're going to get annually for the next 10 years, so just think about just this year then, $14 billion.
Okay.
That is absolute peanuts.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're not going to get any big, you know, zoom in consumer spending. Now, consumers, to the extent wages go up and get more jobs, yeah, there'll be more money going in.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not going to come – any stimulus is not really going to come for these individual tax cuts because it was just not designed to do so.
So it's all corporate.
Yeah, this is a corporate – this is a business tax cut.
Gotcha.
So instead of the trickle-down theory, you know, from higher incomes down, you're counting on corporate tax cut, business trickle-down theory. And so that's it. And so my – feeling is, you know, certainly the first half of the year, three quarters is going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Then And I have no data to support this, okay? But then I start to get concerned, because if they don't start seeing on Wall Street, certainly when third quarter comes around, a lot of big results, you know, from as far as revenues growth, and I don't think they're going to be huge, they're going to be better, then the stock market's going to start factoring that in. And businesses are going to look at that and say, oh, wait, all this spending I'm doing really isn't doing what I thought it would do to my equity, so they can start retreating. So I feel like this thing is going to be, we'll get to the end of the year, and you know the old Peggy Lee song, is that all there is? And they realize, well, this, we got everything we thought we wanted, and it's not, you know, what we thought we were going to get. And then that's when I think I'm going to be concerned about a slowdown then. You know, I'm going to keep very watchful. I'm not predicting it's going to start dead. Certainly not a recession this year.
Right.
Barring any gigantic upheaval somewhere.
Right.
But just based on the economy, it should be good. But I'm going to start being a little cautious, you know, at that point.
Okay. Yeah, I remember us talking about this last year. You were kind of talking about the latter half of 2018 or the last quarter of 2018. So it's something to definitely look forward to. So what concerns you most? There were three things that concerned you in the press release that I got, and number one was a tight labor market. So what is that?
Yeah.
Why is that a concern?
Well, it's a concern and a positive. There are two sides of that.
Okay.
And it's just going to limit, you know, the number of people that can be hired.
Okay.
You know, just simply, so you can't have a job explosion if you have a tight labor market. And certainly, you know, it's so regional in nature. We tend to, you know, look at these big numbers the BLS puts out, and we think, well, that's gospel. And so more people could come into the labor market. But the fact is, where the jobs are really growing, and in the central metropolitan areas, like in the Bay Area and L.A., Minneapolis, Dallas, those labor markets are tight.
Yeah,
I mean,
you
just ask credit unions trying to hire people, much less other types of labor. I mean, it's very difficult to hire anyone. So they have jobs begging, and wages are going up, and that's certainly a positive for everybody. And it's, they're going up much more than what that big number that the BLS puts out every month. You know, there's a Wall Street Journal report just the other day saying most of these areas, you know, your wages are not going up 2.5%. They're going up 4% or more.
Goodness.
So, you know, and that's good.
Yeah.
You're looking for a lot more people and start seeing, you know, for 2 years running, we had monthly job numbers adding to the payrolls of 225 to 250,000. This last year was 171. I expect it'll be lower this year. So that may disappoint some people, but it's just a function of, in the right areas, there aren't enough people to hire.
Right, right. The other thing that concerned you was first mortgages. Can you expand on this one a little bit?
Yeah, this is a kind of a little tricky, and a lot of this has really to do with California and other high tax states, where. By the way, first of all, I'm not at all, when it comes to mortgages, the exclusion of mortgage interest is not a huge thing for most people. And the cap was only lowered by $250,000.
Right.
So, you know, that's just not a big deal.
Right.
So mortgages above that, who cares? You know, that's another $250,000.
Right.
But what it does limit, certainly, in, like when it comes to buying a new property in California, say, and you had something that's in the one tax base a long time, you're going to be jumping up to a new tax base. And that's going to be something that's really going to hold people back.
Yeah.
And much less if it's a bigger mortgage, you know, losing that impact. So I think, you know, this is another, you know, double edge to the sword. I think it's going to mean fewer homes on the market.
Yep.
So your prices aren't going to really suffer.
Yep.
But the flip side, it makes our housing shortage worse. And ultimately, if rates go up, it makes it even worse, and then the prices can start coming down, which really do go up substantially.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, exactly that, especially here in this state. My gosh.
Yeah. So it's going to be, you know, something it's going to drive, from my concern is it's going to make the first mortgage business for credit unions much slower, or else they're going to have to get a lot more aggressive in their marketing and trying to get, you know, steal business.
Right.
Refi business pretty much, you know, down almost 40% last year.
Yeah, it's kind of sunk right now. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to, unless rates suddenly go down.
Right.
You know, and no hint of that right now.
Nope. The third thing that you were talking about was what you talked about at the top of the show, is the economy basically running out of steam at the end of 2018. So kind of address that and let's see if there's anything else to add there for it running out of steam. But right now there's no indication of that.
Yeah. I mean, there's no running out. I mean, running out of steam, it sounds like recession. You know? But it doesn't mean that. It just means you really start slowing down even further to kind of a dull roar. And then, you know, ultimately, of course, there is a risk of falling into recession. Mm-hmm. I guess one of the big risks is, as far as addition to that, would be if rates really do go up. And if inflation does suddenly take off this year, you're going to see rates really go up. Mm-hmm. I mean, be able to fight it. Now, I feel a little different. I think this new Fed is going to try to not raise rates aggressively on the short end. Because, number one, they're going to be mostly Trump people on the Federal Reserve Board. Oh, yeah. And not that they're political. They're not supposed to be political. But they also don't want to be viewed as, okay, we're going to try to fight, you know, the positive results of the tax bill.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as inflation stays at least contained, and it can go up some from here,
right,
but stays contained, I think they're going to hold short rates lower than we expect. But that's not necessarily good for the long end. Because long in the market, they want the Fed to overstep. And they want the Fed to, you know, bring about a slowdown in the economy sooner rather than later. So you could actually see the Fed stay kind of flat this year, go up maybe once.
Mm-hmm.
Long rates are going to rise. And certainly if inflation really does take off, then all bets are off. And the Fed's going to have to raise rates. And so with the long in the market, rates will just simply go up.
Yeah, and that's going to affect everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you stole my thunder, Dwight, because my last question was like, there's a Federal Reserve surprise for us this year. I think you just went into that.
I think there will be. Now, I'm you know, I want to see the first few months play out. But if I think we could be surprised that the Fed's going to be more patient than they would otherwise had this still been Janet Yellen's Fed.
Right, right.
I think she would have stayed on course. We've got a rate increase in March and June and September at least. That was kind of the plan. And that's still what everyone is forecasting now. You know, most people don't believe there's going to be a big change. But I really believe that if inflation, unless it, again, has to, you know, go up and force the Fed's hand, but if inflation stays low, the Fed can justify by saying, well, you know, inflation is still low, so we don't want to be too aggressive because we need inflation higher. And the other story they can use is from last year. We started the beginning of last year with the core CPI at 2.3. And the Fed was confident it would stay there basically in that range. Well, it fell. It, you know, stayed okay through the first 5 or 6 months. But then it fell to 1.7, where it is now. So this Fed can say, hey, look, you know, they probably shouldn't have, you know, tightened as aggressively last year too. So, you know, now we've got inflation still low. So we want to get it up and let it run for a while.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I think that could be the surprise. And again, it would be, you know, fine for, you know, credit unions, by the way, because you'd have a steeper yield curve. It just make it more difficult, certainly in the mortgage business and that sort
of
thing.
Right, right, right. Yeah, that's kind of my wrap-up question is, like, what does all this mean for credit unions? What do credit unions do in the meantime? Is it just business as usual? Are there any preparations that they should make? Or is there something they should be watching? Or
it's business as usual,
okay,
number one. And then certainly, you know, I don't put too much stock around numbers the first few months of the year. They're usually kind of flaky. But once you get into the second quarter, watch inflation news very, very closely.
Okay.
That's going to be a big deal. And then, of course, anything going on in the labor market. I think those are going to be, you know, as typical, those will be the key. But it's going to be inflation first instead of jobs first. It's going to be inflation first.
Okay.
And that's going to be the thing that I think will be kind of driving what the Fed does and then driving other things in the market. And the other thing about rates going up, if they do go up, it makes it harder for stocks to justify continuing to rally.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so then you have another thing that makes gives businesses pause for thought, or as the spending goes.
One thing leads to another, that's for sure.
Yeah.
My goodness.
So just a little, you know, last, you know, 5 years I've been very bullish on the economy, very bullish. And this year I still am, but the old cautious side of me is beginning to kick in. Okay, wait a minute.
Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that.
Everything's not perfect here. So.
Yeah, there's. It's just that's such a moving target. There's so many balls in the air to juggle, you know. It's like there's just so many things that affect each other. So it's just, I, your job must be so much fun because it's changing every day. So my gosh. Pretty cool stuff. All right. Well, Dwight, thank you so much for hanging out with us for a few minutes, and I appreciate the time and the education as always. And we'll be keeping an eye on everything, and maybe we'll revisit in the second quarter and see how things are going.
See how wrong I am. Okay.
All right, Dwight. Thanks again. Appreciate the time as always.